Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1258. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me this episode of Gamertag Radio, we have Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Yo, what's up, Danny? How you doing?
Everything's good, man. Good. How's everything over there?
Not bad. Weather's a little as usual. It's getting into May, April. That's when the weather here gets a little schizophrenic. Actually, it was sunny earlier. It was raining, and then it was sunny again, and I just heard thunder outside my window. So, yeah,
That's a nice mix.
You know what? It's kind of like living in Hialeah.
You miss it? You miss the...
I do not miss Hialeah. Well, you know what? I miss the panko lechon.
Okay. The food.
The
panko lechon.
Obviously the family in Miami.
Yeah.
And my friends and stuff like that. But it's the food, bro. If it's not the food, there's no reason. There's no other reason to go into Hialeah, dude. Come on, dude. Nobody goes to Hialeah, Miami Lakes for that. But they just go there for food because they live there. They got no choice. Mm.
but by the way, Paris is not going to join us. By the way, this episode, but you're going to join us the next one, Pete. So I know we were this briefly. This is before we went online, we started streaming. But I know you mentioned about buying a PS5. Do you see yourself buying a PS5 now? You're going to wait until after any type of showcase in the summer. Maybe they'll announce like a slim version. Which one you will buy? If they do, or you want to wait, or no?
You know what answers that question? When is Spider-Man 2 coming out?
Because is it September? September, right?
Right? So that answers the question. Yeah, it's like a week or two before Star, or actually, it's the week before Starfield. So yeah, that's when. So obviously, yeah, we'll presumably, as the rumor mill has been telling us, there's presumably a PlayStation 6. You know, there's rumors for
PlayStation
that.
6.
Bro, trust me, I've been in the deep dark web. It's not a pretty place, but yes, there's no rumors of PlayStation 6 or PlayStation 5. Yeah, there's rumors abound of everything. Honestly, look, at the end of the day, you can find a false rumor for anything you're looking for, depending on how far and how deep into the internet you decide to go. But yeah, I mean, there's a high likelihood I'll finally just pull the trigger. Because I'm looking forward to Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Primarily. Yeah, because you played already. You played the first one and also Miles Morales on PC, right, for the first time?
No, so I played the first one on PlayStation 4. I played the second one on... I played Miles Morales on the Steam Deck. And now looking forward to maybe PlayStation 5 on... Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation 5.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, it's coming out soon, man. So the rumor is we're probably going to start seeing ads in August. So that means between May, June, maybe July, we're probably going to see a showcase from PlayStation. They'll start showing some gameplay of the game. And then, it's going to be exciting, man. This year's going to be good. It's a lot of cool stuff. Actually, on Twitter, the chaotic Twitter social media app, I posted about like our favorite year in gaming. I know 2007 was one of them. And I know our friend Tony Polanco, shout out to him. He said 1998 was a good one too. I was like, damn, I forgot about 98. 98 is a really good year in gaming.
But didn't we talk about that the last time the three of us were on, like just the last two shows ago? We talked about like this potentially this year, 2023, has the potential. We're getting in the conversation right? Obviously, there's still a lot of time between now and the end of the year, but it's if all the things fall into place correctly, there's just a good chance they could be in the conversation.
I can see it. By the way, for those watching the stream, here's another code for Crash Team Rumble, PlayStation only.
You know, it's funny.
Beta's still live. Go check it out.
When we talked about the most anticipated games of 2023, I think it was at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, I actually said that same thing, right? And if this is the case, it definitely stands out as a comparison to 98 and 2007. Just with all the potential, all the games that were, you know, either confirmed or, you know, about to come out. you know, some games maybe have not truly hit the, you know, hit the ground running as we expected. You know, like Forspoken had its hiccups. Dead Space Remake was really, you know, really well received. Hogwarts Legacy for all of its drama on the internet. Reviewed very well. Destiny 2 Lightfall came out. I spent 2.5 hours this morning playing it. Jedi Survivor, getting ready. Legend of Zelda coming out in 1.5 months. All right, so Suicide Squad got delayed. We know that. Diablo 4. But Server Slam coming next weekend. You know where I'm going to be all weekend long. We'll be right here playing Diablo 4.
I'm ready for the beta. I'm ready for that.
Redfall.
You've been coughing a lot.
I've been going, me and my wife have been going and fighting this cold. So like we're getting through. So, you know, Redfall for all of its drama, et cetera, you know, with its 30 frames per second release. We talked about that 2 shows ago, Starfield, Spider-Man 2, Stalker, potential for Alan Wake 2, Forza 8, Hollow Knight, Silk Song replaced. Minecraft Legends, which you guys had the developers on for.
Great game.
Wolf Among Us 2 was rumored with a 2023 date. Warhammer 40K. Phantom Liberty potentially this year. It's a minefield, man. If those games hit, I don't see how we can't have that conversation that 2023 is right along there with 98 and 2007.
It's going to be wild. So many games, man. And that means we're going to have great stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. That end of the year game of the year conversation is gonna be real interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be a tough one. I'll tell you right now. Tough one. All right. So for those that are listening, make sure to go to gamertagradio.com. We have so much content over there. Just listen to all the past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. You know, make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, and we need more questions, guys. We need more questions. It's been a while. Plus, Pete, we got to bring back Miss Leo. We got to bring her back. We got to bring her back sometime in May predict. We got to predict all this stuff coming up. We haven't done it in a while. So if you would like to be part of our family discussion, prediction episode, all that stuff, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have 2 interviews this week. We have an interview with the creative director, Yannick from Massive. They worked on The Division 2. There's some new content coming up for year 5. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And also, I have, for those hip-hop heads, we have Fonte from Little Brother. We had a great conversation about just, you know, music career and gaming. He's a huge, huge fan of games. And he's been in different soundtracks too in games, and we're gonna play that both interviews on this episode. But first, let's talk about the presentation that just happened a couple of days ago, Pete, from Ubisoft. They talked about the future, about the Division franchise 1. They talked about the Division 2, new content coming up, the new game, Division game for mobile, and the last one, the one that I'm also excited about, is Heartland. That's a new free-to-play Division game that's coming up too. Have you got to watch the presentation or read details about the division Absolutely. Franchise, all the stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about it?
I mean, come on. Of the three of us on the show, obviously Paris isn't on here, I was the one that was in the sauce for the division since day one, right? Mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I've always been a large fan. Hell, I'm even wearing the Red Pandas hat from Ubisoft and the division. Obviously Paris had his reservations, and I really wish he was on this week so he could give his, because I really wanted to just hear his expectations, his response as far as this announcement, knowing how critical he was after the first one, which followed through into the second one, which had its moments,
mm-hmm.
But never, I think, was able to truly capture that same feel from the first one. This new one, which surprisingly is almost feels like they took the Dark Zone and the most missing aspect of the Division 2, which was survival, and they seem to have merged them into one title. Which, I mean, I think that's phenomenal, right? That's probably the one thing that, in my eyes, was missing from this last release of The Division 2 was what happened to survival, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just me that was saying it, right? That was conversation that was sent, you know, that was echoed across all of the fans of the game. On top of that, you've got, it's set in Silver Springs. It's a fictional town of Silver Springs, which is more Midwest, Bible Belt, kind of center of the country. It's getting away from the New York / Washington, D.C. environment. And apparently it's now that the green virus or the green whatever is now, it acts a little bit differently, right? It almost seems like it has a mind of its own. They've split up the gameplay. So now you've got the daytime where you could do your normal PvE, but when you want your nighttime, if you want your PvPvE action, aka the Dark Zone, you hang out at night, right? They've made the base of operations, or the boo, as they like to call it, which I always thought was hilarious. They've made that the core central part, similar to other parts or other releases, but this one is more centralized, and you do all your social activities in there. But the cool part was them splitting up that PvE and the PvPvE into daytime, nighttime, right? And it's the same concept. If you're able to extract your gear out from the nighttime area, then you actually get to ingest it into your base of operations and you take benefits out of that. If you watch the video, there's a couple of cool things. There are, you know, a little couple of Easter eggs or things that you may not have captured. Sliding, which mm-hmm. I was like, that's never been in this game, right? That's
never.
That's something, when you think of sliding, you're thinking of like maybe Destiny PvP or you're thinking Call of Duty. But you've never seen that. And also, which is one thing that really, really set it apart from, you know, the first two iterations of the game was crouching. Mm-hmm. Because this game has always been a cover mechanic based third party shooter, crouching was never really a thing, right? Because you could literally, depending on the platform you were playing, you could automatically slide or, you know, akin to how, was it Gears of War had the little, you know, slide into, sliding into cover. But because it was a cover-based mechanic of the game, there was no need for crouching. Well, now they've implemented that as well, obviously as another feedback request from the players, right? Is an ability to do that. So, you know, seeing them combine that Dark Zone environment into being such a critical component, because people don't on, because look, at the end of the day, some people just want to play the PvE part. Some people want to play just uh-huh. the PvPvE part. So why split it up into areas where you're forced to go through the PvE area rather than just give them an open component of it and just play nighttime? Really cool. Uh-huh. The other cool announcement that I thought was really nice was the return of incursions. Which is kind of like end game, and you know, it's essentially the end game for the division. And you know, it's looking bright, right? The future is bright for this. Is there some hesitation or trepidation to going back into, you know, going back into the division? If you said no, if you expected that everything's going to be roses going straight in, and you know you have no expectation of or an expectation of disappointment, I would call you a liar to your face, because they're the first two, unfortunately, have put that taste in our mouths, right? Where it launches great, but then you see that steep drop off after launch. So fingers crossed, I'm hopeful that this, you know, that they finally gotten it right, right? You know, they've finally gotten, you know, they've taken the best of one, they've taken the best of two, they've merged it into one. I'm looking forward to it. I cannot lie. I am excited to see what it comes, but I am coming with a little bit of reservation because of the, you know, what has happened over the last two releases.
Yeah. And here's the thing too. We've been very vocal about the content that we got to play during the last Division game, especially with Dark Zone. Red Storm worked on that. Mm-hmm. And we were very, very critical about it, because it wasn't the same compared to like the Division One, right? But I wonder how much they have learned from working on those two and adding to the new one too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very curious to see how it's going to be. But I have to say, you know, playing games like X Defiant, which is also a free to play game, and now this one, Ubisoft is on a roll, man, with free to play content. It's been good so far, and I'm excited to try this out, man. It reminds me of like when we were playing The Division nonstop almost every day on consoles, man. So I'm excited. Yeah. I can't wait to play it, man. Can't wait. Now, are you excited to try out the new roguelike mode that's coming out for The Division 2? Are you curious about it?
I'm curious, but again, because it's not my wheelhouse of games, obviously. I'm the first person, you know, third person shooter person. I do not deny that in any way, shape, or form. That is always my preferred game genre. But I think it's different enough that I'm gonna, and because it's an environment and universe that I'm already familiar with, it kind of reduces the barrier to entry to get in for me. So I think I'm a little more open to trying it out, at least, right? I'm not going to say I'm going to be devoting my summer to it. I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm going to have, you know, thousands of hours in it by the end of the year, but I'm open to try it because it's different and it's outside of my wheelhouse. But like I said, because of its familiarity of the universe and I'm a fan of it, I'll check. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And hopefully, Pete, once Heartland comes out, we got to play it. We definitely got to play it. Hopefully we can stream it, talk about it, you know. And for those that are listening or in the chat, let us know if you guys are excited to play Heartland. Are you also curious to play the new contest coming on Division 2? Please let us know. I'm dying to know if the fans are going to go back and play. There's a lot of games coming out this year, you know. So, but with Heartland, I think my prediction is, I think that's going to go live after the showcase from Ubisoft in June. And that makes more sense. They can say the game is available now or something like that, right? You can see that happening?
It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Just because like the beta hasn't even been announced. Like they haven't given us a timeline for the beta, have they?
No. No, so, they have. You could register right now. Right. And for those who are listening, you could go to, or just look up the Division Heartland beta, sign up, and it will pop up. And it says close beta later this year, but I have a feeling we might try it out as a beta in June. And officially, probably will come out sometime in the summer. Because I think if they release this later this year, it's going to be way too many games coming out. I don't know how they're going to keep up. But again, not everybody's going to be playing the same thing. Everybody's going to be changing it up, you know? So, but yeah. Check it out. Heartland. Anything else, Pete, from this?
No. I mean, again, it's exciting times for Ubisoft, because I know they've been the subject of some bad press over the last few, you know, the last few months, maybe the last year. So it's good to see some upwards progression from one of our favorite, you know, publishers. And again, a favorite title of mine that's, you know, that's coming back. That seems to be on its way back. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and we're in the game. They have our logo in the game, Division 2. So you can go back and use it. You
can be a member of the clan. Actually, will they bring that back? Will we have the clan logo still available as an option in the thing? Actually, we probably got to clear out that clan because remember, we were limited by 50. We were limited by 50. I think the last time I went in there to play, I was like, all these people, one or two people were like still playing. And I was like, should I just like kick everybody?
I should try it out. I should go back and see how it looks. Cause I remember those people leaving cause they were not playing it anymore, you know? So yeah, but hey, at least we can say we're in the game.
That's true. We can't
say that. We have a logo there. Yeah. You know? So, all right. So we're going to play the interviews, both interviews. One is with the creative director, Yannick, from Massive. We had a great conversation about the Division 2 new content, the new roguelike mode, a little bit about season year 5, all that stuff. We talked about it. It's going to be a great conversation. I think you guys are going to like it. And also after that, I'm going to play an interview with Fonte of Little Brother, and also from Foreign Exchange. We had a great conversation about his career and music and also games. He's a huge, huge fan of games. Actually, I was watching a couple of years back, I was watching a podcast, a hip hop podcast, and he was in it. He was talking about games like Flower, you know, indie games. A lot of rappers don't know about indie games. They usually will talk about like stuff that's popular, you know. So, but he's been in multiple games, NBA 2K, now the new recent game, MLB The Show. He's in it. He has a track in there. So, but yeah, we're going to play those interviews right now. And once we come back, the return of fan mail. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yep. So I'm Yannick Banchereau. I'm the creative director on Tom Clancy's The Division 2. So I'm in a way the mind behind all the content and all the cool things we're about to reveal. Although saying I'm the mind means, sounds very sounds very selfish. I'm not the only person working on it. There's a lot of great minds, but it's I'm the one that's kind of coordinating and trying to make sense out of the ideas and desires of everybody on the team. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming and a very exciting year for us.
You know, I was very surprised to hear, you guys been working on new content for the game because it's been a long, long time. So how's it been since the last content that you guys released and now the stuff that's coming up?
It's been quite a roller coaster, to be honest, with the release of Warlords of New York and then the second year of content, then the kind of blackout in a way where we had to restart production of content, and then coming back with year 4, not being able to do year 5, and seeing the game be successful, seeing our content be successful, and us being trusted and allowed to keep going it's an amazing feeling. And with the plans we have for year 5, they're ambitious. There's a lot of things we want to do, so it's just it's great to be able to keep building and actually do even more than what we've been doing until now, hopefully see the result confirm that we should keep going.
Yeah, I know one of the content that you guys plan to add in this game is a new mode. Can you tell us a little bit about that too? That looks very exciting and really interesting too.
So you're talking about Descent. That's our new game mode that's going to come in June. So that's the first, that's going to be part of the first season of year 5, actually. So that's going to basically open the year with, we're going to open the year with this game mode. And Descent, what it is, it's a PvE game mode. It's a take on the roguelite genre in the world of The Division. So you're going to go there. The idea behind is, trying to re-experience for our players, re-experience the feeling of progression, power progression, which a lot of them haven't experienced for a very long time, because if you're endgame, you're powerful. And then there's a new gear. Okay, cool, I get the new gear, but I don't necessarily get more powerful. I just get more tools. Mm-hmm. But you've already bested everything that the game has to offer. And the idea with Descent was, let's take the players out of their comfort zone. Let's take away all the gear and make them start from scratch again, and then create new mechanics, new power mechanics, new progression mechanics, so that progression feels different compared to what they've experienced in the game. But But yeah, let's make them re-experience that idea of starting from scratch with just your gun and one weapon, and then having to work to actually be feel more powerful than the NPCs.
Yeah, because I know you guys have been experimenting since day one. I know you guys added raids back then. You guys did a couple things in the game. Mm-hmm. And like how you guys came up with the concept to add this into the game. Because, you know, it's hard to really come up with something new, you know, with something that's been, you know, working for a very long, long time.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's not hard to come up with ideas. It's mm-hmm. hard to actually transform them into reality. But it's, mm-hmm. again, it's the idea was when we try to challenge our players, we always need to account for all the millions of variations that the gear system allows. And it's very hard to balance and create things that are very challenging. And we will do that in year 5. In season 2, we are going to be implementing a new incursion. So that's the idea of creating this bite-sized, extremely challenging content for the most powerful players in the game. But with Descent, it was the idea of creating difficulty, a more controlled difficulty, where we make you start from the same level for everyone, start from scratch, and therefore we don't have to account for all the past gear that you've accumulated. We make you start from a blank slate, and then we give you the power upgrades, and then, you know, let's see how far you can make it. The great thing with that is also that because everybody starts from scratch, that means also the character level doesn't matter. So you can go in Descent with a level 40 character, you can go in Descent with a level 2 character, and you can mm-hmm. play together, and you will have the same power, the two players. So that means it allows for a very welcoming experience for new players. A new player can jump into Descent if they want to, and they can play with very experienced players. Because the mechanics are different, it doesn't require you to know the mechanics of the end game of the Division. You will learn the Descent mechanics, which are something else. So it's really something for everyone. For the players that want to experiment with different mechanics, it's for people that haven't played the Division and want to try something else. It's for people that are just looking for that power thrill again. So with one game mode, I think we managed to hit on a lot of very different fantasies depending on the player style.
Yeah, well, one of the things I remember from the first game is, bro, like the players are really, really good, and they will get the content right away. Do you think this one is gonna be something similar, or it's gonna be a lot harder to get all those new content, armor and gear, this mode?
Well, it's so the great thing with this mode is that it is infinite. So mm-hmm. there is, you know, you're going to go there and try to beat the Nemesis, which is the final boss. And I say final boss and I say infinite. What do I mean? Well, there is a final boss, but once you've defeated that final boss, you can keep going. You can choose to leave because you got the main reward, but you can keep going. And if you keep going, you're going to be rewarded for that as well. And you're going to start unlocking your rewards. And that keeps scaling to infinity. So that's the fun thing about it. There's a point where you're going to become a killing machine, but therefore any mistake is going to be extremely lethal because everything in front of you is going to be scaled to fight you. So where it really becomes about, you know, mastery of the gameplay skills and you controlling, you know, owning that controller or that mouse and keyboard to not make a single mistake. So it's that's the cool thing with it. It's like you can go there to beat the Nemesis and get your Nemesis reward, but if you want, you can keep going, and that mm-hmm. can go on for hours and hours until you die if you really want to do that.
Yeah, I know we're almost wrapping up here, but one of the last questions is, are we going to see other new modes that you guys are planning to add in the Division, or this is the new mode and everything else is more of like the cosmetics and gear for the game? In the future, for season 5?
Well, there's a lot of things we want to do in year 5. There's Descent, then there's, I mentioned, the Incursion, which is a return of a fantasy from Division 1, which is the idea of creating this very tough challenge for very advanced players, like the raid, but for groups of 4, and a bit less relying on puzzles and really way more on, you know, group synergies and team building and communication and strategy. So that's something that is familiar to Division players, but not Division 2 only players, because that's something new we're bringing back in a way. Mm-hmm. And then with season four, we are planning to bring in a whole new DLC to the game with, you know, new map, new missions, and all of that. So while this is not a new game mode, this is a big addition of content, of land to explore, and new stories to discover, and new main missions to do. So, you know, that's the... There's a lot of content in this year. So the game mode is not, it's not only, you know, the only card in our hand in a way. There's a lot of things that we want to do in this year.
All right, cool, man. I just want to say congrats to you guys. Can't wait to check it out. And yeah, we're definitely going to see it in 2 months or so. So I'm excited to see it, man. But thanks for the opportunity for the interview, man.
Well, thank you.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor for this episode, and that's Factor. This spring, you need nutritious, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, active days and keep you on track reaching your goals. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door, and you'll save time, eat well, and tackle everything on your to-do list. Now, Factor did send me a package a couple weeks back, and I've been enjoying this. They sent me, you know, stuff for beef, chicken, even if you're vegan. I have also a vegan meal kits too, man. So, and it's been great. And they also sent me smoothies, which is my favorite: mango, strawberry, and banana, and much, much more. So this is super, super delicious. If you're too busy to cook this spring, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping, prepping, and cleanup too. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. Super easy to set up and is very, very quick. All you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back outside and soak up the warmer weather. Looking for calorie-conscious options this spring? Try delicious, dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. Now, GTR listeners, it's time to take action. Head to factorsmeals.com/GTR50 and use code GTR50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code GTR50 at factormeals.com/GTR50 to get 50% off your first box. I would like to thank Factor for sponsoring this episode of GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. We have legend, one of my favorite groups of all time, Little Brother. We got Fonte here, man. Fonte, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Man, thank you for having me, brother. I'm good. Good to see you.
Yeah. You know what? Originally, I wanted to have you guys on for a long time. Actually, I was supposed to go to one of your shows back in 2020 in New York, right before the pandemic. Yeah. And then everything went down.
Yeah, a lot of shit was supposed to happen in 2020.
Yeah, everything went down. Because I got super excited for the album that came out during that time and everything. So yeah, man, been a huge fan from way back, man. So, tell us a little bit about you know, how's it been since back to the last album? Have you guys been working on any new projects or anything?
Yeah, the main thing that we've been working on since the last album, May the Lord Watch, is really just working on a documentary that's of the same name, May the Lord Watch. And we're looking to have that done, you know, by the end of this year, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, that was something that, you know, I made a lot of records, made a lot of albums, but making a film is a completely different thing. And making a film about your life is something really even different. Yeah. So, this is something that we've really been taking our time on. We've been working on for 5 years, and we feel like we're at a spot now where we really got the story, you know, write. We know, you know, the story that we want to tell. We've kind of figured out what it is that we want to say. And yeah, man, it's rough, but I think people are gonna like it.
Oh, cool. Wait, when you say rough, there's gonna be a lot of controversy in this, or what?
I don't even know if it's controversy, but mm-hmm. it's just raw. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't think it's worth you telling our story and trying to make it pretty. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's good, the bad, the ugly is all of it. But we feel good about it. And I'm just ready to get it done. I just need it out of my life at this point.
Yeah, I think it is important to see the, you know, the behind the scenes of like the good and bad and the ugly of the, you know, working on projects and about you guys personally. There's a lot of people that just know you about your music, but they don't know you personally. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to see that, and I can't wait to check it out. Is this something that is going to be available like in streaming services, or this is one of those?
Yeah, more like it'll be streaming. I mean, we're still in the process of figuring it out. Our whole thing is just, you know, we want to make the film that we want to make first and foremost. And then once that's done, you know, whoever the best partner is that makes sense for it, we'll run with them. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, our foremost duty is to make the film that we want to see.
Yeah.
So that's where we at with it.
Yeah, you know, a couple years back, I got to watch a video interview with you guys, man, and you started talking about video games. I was like, wait a minute, wait, Fonte's into gaming? Oh, man, I got to talk to him, man. So I know during the interview, shout out to Aaron, Ashley, Simon. I know you guys were, you guys were talking about, I think it was Flower, one of the really cool, unique game. And I was very surprised that you mentioned that, man. What type of games are you into, man?
Man, so I'm generally more of a... I'm not a big first person shooter. You know what I mean? Like I can play like Call of Duty, and you know, I was in the for a minute, like I think Call of Duty, and I would play was it Battlefield?
Battlefield, yeah.
I'll run that. It was a one back in the day. I used to run Sniper, I think Sniper Elite or Sniper.
Oh my God. I remember the Sniper Elite. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to run that. I run Sniper Elite here and there. Yeah. But generally not really a first person shooter. I mean, I'll get into them, but not, you know, that's not kind of my fave. Mm-hmm. I definitely am more like third person, you know, big survival horror fan. So mm-hmm. Last of Us. Resident Evil. I still got to finish the last Resident Evil. I started it, but I didn't finish it.
The remake? The remake that just came out?
No. The one that was like... The one that came out like a year or two ago.
Was it 8? Resident Evil 8? Yeah. Village.
That's the one. Yeah, Village.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started it, and like I think I made like a crucial mistake, so I'm probably just going to start over and play it from jump.
Yeah.
But yeah, Resident Evil, I was always a big fan of that. I really, really big fan of running guns, so I can't say enough about Cuphead. I think that is like mm-hmm. one of the most insane games ever made. it's just brutal. But you know, I beat it, and I was like, yeah, man, I felt like I really did something with my life when I beat the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of like the old games where it's like really difficult, you know what I'm saying? But I'm surprised it's passing, because not a lot of people have done it, man. You know, I finished it too, normal, you know what I'm saying? So
normal. Yeah, I didn't listen. Let me tell you something. Let me be clear. I game, but all these motherfuckers, yo, I want to play it on the hardest.
Yeah, you're like, no.
I'm 44 years old. Yeah. I will play the game the way it came. Period.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need no extra adventure. I don't need no. I'm going to play. Like, I just finished, day before yesterday, bro, I finally finished after, like, months. I finally got 100% on God of War.
Ragnarok. Nice. That's a great game, too.
It's a lot of game, dog.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of game. And then you beat the game, and then they give you New Game Plus, where you can, you know, use your weapons. And I was like, hold up. Like, y'all want me to do this all over again?
Are you gonna try to do that? Oh no.
No, I'm not doing that. Okay. No, playing it again. Like, yeah. Fucking puzzles and Norner chests and got the hive. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big game. I beat that. You know what I'm saying? I finally completed, got 100 on that.
Dope.
Yeah, man. What else I was on? I don't know if you did you ever this joint, Sifu? Did you ever play
that? Yeah, I love Sifu. Sifu is dope.
Sifu beat my ass. Like I got Sifu, and you know, I ran up in there thinking it was gonna be Double Dragon and shit.
Man, oh no, it's not like Double Dragon at all.
I was 52 in the club. I was like, you know what? Let me just start over.
Yeah, yeah. That's one game I couldn't really finish because I always get stuck because my character gets older.
And
I just never complete the game. Like, you know what? I'm done. But it's, I love the concept, though. The concept is pretty cool.
The concept is really, I thought it was really innovative. Yeah. But the game itself, it beat my ass. So I just kind of, I stepped off from it.
Yeah. You know what? So when I used to work at G4, I was working on a project. We wanted to do something special about the Dev Jam games. Remember those games that came out?
Vendetta,
and all that stuff. So we were like, man, I know Fonte is into gaming. I would love to have him on. And it just didn't work out because we were rushing this project and everything, right? But do you remember the old school Def Jam Vendetta games? Oh, Vendetta and like the other
Vendetta,
stuff?
Like Fight for New York or something?
Yeah.
I didn't really play them, but I do remember like them being a thing. I didn't play them, but I remember those games. Yeah.
I was like, man, that was a really cool concept, you know, having a lot of hip hop artists and actually DJs as commentaries and stuff. It was really cool, man. So yeah, that was one of the main reasons I'm like, yo, I gotta contact him, man, because he's probably into this too, man. So
I definitely into it.
Yeah, yeah. So man, so what else is going on with you, man? Like, are you also working on solo projects on your own too or no?
I'm probably getting back into it. I mean, you know, I just working on the doc for so long. It was the first creative project. Normally I have like a lot of things I'm kind of working on at once. If I'm working on a record for me and I may be producing something for someone else, or I may be you know, just doing, you know, QLS or doing whatever, I can kind of just do a lot of things creatively to keep myself busy. But in the particular case of doing the doc, it just sucks up everything. Like, it leaves no room for nothing else. So I actually haven't been in the studio working on this doc. I really haven't been in the studio for some time. I've done stuff here and there. So I haven't been in some time. So I'm kind of really looking forward now to like scratching that itch and getting back in.
Yeah, yeah, man. I just love you guys' music, man. It's really cool, man. So are you also... Have you guys gotten any other opportunity? Can I know you guys were in the soundtrack of NBA 2K6 from one of your tracks there. Is there anything else besides that you guys have done in the past with gaming too or no?
Yeah, I just had we did like that in 2K6. It was some game. I cannot remember which one it was. This was back in the day. This had to be like 06, 07 something. Mm-hmm. There was another game that I want to say Pooh. And our manager at the time, Doe, they did voiceover for, like, they might have been, you know, Thug Number 4 in, like, Mac 3 or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of things. Yeah. But they did that. And just literally recently, a few weeks ago, my song Sweet You was in MLB The Show 23.
Yes, I was going to mention it because I have MLB. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that? Hey, that's Alfonte? What the heck? You know what I'm saying? So wait, is your solo joint or is like a little brother?
Nah. Sweet You is a solo joint.
That's solo joint?
Yeah, that's the record I did. That was from my last solo album, No News Is Good News. And that was a record I did with my brother, Tall Black Guy. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
And so they picked that one to use and I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, yeah, because actually I got the game for review, right? And by the way, I don't know if you tried the MLB The Show, but yo, it's really dope. It's really cool.
I heard it's dope. I'm honestly not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a sports fan, like, in general. So, like.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's all good.
So then just, like, a video sports game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the only sports game that I would play, I think my sports run ended at, like, Madden. Like, Madden.
You know what? A lot of people did, man. I just got tired of the same thing over and over again. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to like take a long break from any sports game, then come back. And by the time you come back, it's probably like a little bit different, you know, graphically and like new features and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like now the games are way more complicated. Like I see them. I'm like, damn, you actually almost got to know how to play basketball to do this. Like,
yeah,
I can't play this. So the sports games now, my son, he's in the, both my boys, they're in the 2K. So they run 2K, you know, all day and night. But that chapter of my life is closed.
Yeah, yeah. You should mention, like, you know, I've been in that game too, right? In the soundtrack. You know what I'm saying?
right. Real clock. Yeah.
Hey, exactly. I mean, if you ever had an opportunity to work with like a studio, like, okay, we want to have you or your group to be part of the soundtrack or even voice acting or something like that. Was there any, let's say two or three studios that you would love to work on the project with them in the future, like to be part of or something? As a fan.
Yeah, as a fan. Oh my God, man. I guess I'll just say just the games that I like. I mean, Santa Monica, you know, they did God of War. I mean, I think that is just an amazing game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too many black people in God of War, so I don't know.
We need more. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, the guy that does Kratos was Christopher Judge.
He's
a brother, and he did an amazing job. But I love that one. I really loved just The Last of Us. I just thought that was just an amazing game. I still got part two. I still haven't even opened part two yet. But the first Last of Us, I mean, that was just an experience. Another one for me that I loved that, you know, if some way, and again, I don't know how I would even fit into these games or whatever. I'm just saying these are the ones with Ghost of Tsushima.
Ooh, that game is amazing.
Yeah, man. Gorgeous, bro.
Amazing. That's like a movie. That's a movie, bro.
Oh, yeah. I was playing that shit in like, you know, in like, I played in like black and white and
Kurosawa. Oh, I was going to ask you if you played in normal black and white. Black and white is the one to play with a person.
Yeah, I would play in black and white for a little bit, but then I would switch the color because I want to see the blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to bleed out. So, I run that.
Yeah.
Let me think, man. Yeah, but in terms of voiceover gaming stuff, yeah, I mean, I guess wherever it would fit or wherever it would make sense, you know, in a being like a soldier or whatever in like a Call of Duty, just, you know, yeah, I guess that could be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, man. I know you mentioned that your doc is coming out sometime this year, right? And I think this is a very important year. It's the 50th year anniversary of hip hop, man. Like how hip hop has changed your life and how cool it would be, man, to have this out at the time where to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the culture, man.
Yeah, nah, man. It definitely is a humbling experience, you know, to be living in the 50th year of hip hop and also the 20th year of Little Brother. You know what I mean? It's definitely been a humbling experience. And when we did our show in New York, you know, our Brooklyn Bowl show, you know, we sold it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I even said that night, I said, you know, there's 20 years of history up here on stage, but there's also 20 years of history out in the crowd because there's people in that crowd that have been pulling up on us for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like it's people in that crowd that we've seen get old, get older, get married, you know, get divorced, have kids, you know what I mean? Like we've actually, you know, kind of gone through life together. So, for me to just to be on stage and like really kind of taking in 20 years, it's kind of surreal because 20 years in this business is a good night's sleep. I mean, it goes by like that, you know what I'm saying? So it definitely is really humbling, and hopefully, you know, with the doc just coming at this time, it'll just kind of be incorporated into just all of this celebration. Nobody expected hip hop to last this long. Like nobody expected rap music to last 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nobody expected it to be, you know, 40 and 50 year old rappers still making music and still delivering and still, you know, not just being relevant, you know what I'm saying? But just actually being profitable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I'm just always extremely humbled and excited just to be a part of that history.
Yeah, no, I tell you, when I remember discovering you guys back then, man, it reminded me of like Tribe and De La and a little bit of Wu, like just of like those groups that, and especially now, that lasted this long. Because usually they probably release like one album and that's it, they'll break up and that's it. But you guys have been releasing multiple projects, man. So I'm glad that you guys are still, you know, working together and still releasing good music, man. Really, really good music, man.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, man. So I'm just going to wrap it up here, man. But if you would like to promote anything else, man, you're also, if people want to continue to follow you for updates, what would be like the best play to find out?
Oh man, they can hit me on IG. You know, I'm on IG and Twitter at Fontigallo, Phontigallo on IG and Twitter. Those kind of my main kind of playgrounds. I don't really do social as much as I used to do these days. It's just I just don't have the time, and it's just it takes more away than it gives. it's just exhausting.
Yeah.
So I try to limit my time on it, but you know, I'm still there kicking it. You can also just check our site, littlebrothernc.com. That's kind of the home base for everything. You know what I'm saying? For shows, for merch, for just any new music coming out, you can definitely check us there. You check my other group, The Foreign Exchange, theforeignexchangemusic.com. Check me out there as well. You check me on Questlove Supreme. Shout out to my big brother Questlove and my whole Team Supreme family. Check us every week, wherever you get your podcasts. You know what I mean? It's just Music Nerd Central. Just, you know, check for me just for new music. Check for me on Sesame Street. You know what I mean? You check me for me a lot of places. But I'm thankful for everybody just for supporting our careers over these years. And I'm just really thankful and blessed that for everybody for rocking with us.
Yeah, and you never know. Maybe you bump into him online playing some games, you know?
You might. You know what I'm saying? You might see me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Fonte, man. Thanks a lot, man, for the conversation, man.
Oh, no problem, Danny. Thank you for having me, brother. It's good to see you.
You too, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here. Thanks to Yannick and also Fonte for a great conversation with you guys. Can't wait to talk more with Fonte in the future, man. We got to bring back Big Pooh. We had him on the show, right, Pete? Years ago in Miami.
Years ago.
This is like, what, 2007, 2008, I think it was, like around that time. Was it? Or was it late? I don't remember. It was like around there, between 2007, 2010. It was like around there.
Yeah, I remember when we went to do the show, we spoke with him. Merz was in the bus.
Merz is a huge Sega Dreamcast fan. Huge.
Open the door, close the door. We didn't get to interview him, but we did get to chop it up with Pooh. We became friends on PlayStation. We would play football and stuff like that. Play NFL 2, you know, 2K stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
Wait, NFL 2K? Wow.
Oh, not 2K. No, not 2K. My bad. Well, remember, you said 2007, so I mean...
I know. No, there was no 2K during that time, was it?
No. It was Madden. It was Madden football. It was Madden football. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, it's all good.
If only I could dream, if we could get Fonte, Tigolo, and we could get freaking Ninth all together once again. You know, it's a dream of mine. It's one of my favorite guys. I know it's not going to happen. It's a dream. Let me dream. All right, Dan?
Let me dream. Let me dream. I get it. All right. I know I'm looking at the chat. Again, this is for those that are listening. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. I see Arctic says to add him to the Diablo 2 clan.
Diablo 4 clan.
Why he said Diablo 2?
To Diablo. Oh, I don't know. Then he puts the little star 4. You put the star 4 after that.
Oh,
read.
4. Okay.
Scroll down and read, Danny. Come on.
Hey, I have to scroll down. But it says Diablo 2. Anyway, Diablo 4 clan. Yes, we are also going to have a clan there. So we could all play. I wonder, does it save my clan?
No.
The beta? No?
All of that information is going to get wiped. All progression, all your characters will be wiped. Anything and everything. Remember, this is essentially the gold patch. Everything that was, because they announced going to gold, and then less than a week later, they announced the server slam for Diablo 4. So it's essentially going to be what's at launch, right? There might be some bugs, and there might, like, launch day patch will likely have fixes from this release, but essentially we're playing what they shipped as gold last week. So everything's going to start over from scratch. Which means your progression to level 20 in the beta will be, it's up to level 20. It's no longer up to level 25. There is a prize, excuse me, for getting to level 20. You'll get a horse, you'll get a steed, which we didn't have before it was the wolf pup for characters. So if you do get a chance to play, I'm curious to see how much of the gameplay change they did. I know that they've modified the legendary drops to be closer in line as to what to expect in game. They dropped it. They absolutely buffed the legendary drops for the first two, which I kind of expected, and I did say that on the show, that it was that you had to, like, or they buffed the drops. They increased the number of legendary drops just to make people excited and to play it more and to get involved and be able to jump plot and swap characters and stuff like that. But that is no longer the case. Now it's getting to level 20, and you're now going to have a much more reduced drop on good legendary, legendary gear and loot. So I'm excited.
Oh, we are. I can't wait.
Rihanna, I'm talking about Diablo 4. The server slam is this week, this coming weekend.
Yeah. All right, so we have fan mail. We're going to bring it back here, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
You know, Pete, you haven't done the special effects. It's been a while, but you don't have to do it. There you go, fan mail. All right, so I'm gonna answer a question, a fan mail question for the first time from the chat, and added part of the this wasn't planned at all. So Prez says, "How new player friendly is the Division 2, Pete?" I think it is friendly. I think it's easy to play from the beginning. You're not gonna be playing higher level or anything like that, but I think it's fine with me. Easy to play. Go ahead.
I think from a player introduction standpoint, it's relatively easy to just walk in and just start playing. There is no, major tutorials to get in. They kind of just drop you into the world. You kind of have to learn by playing. If there's anything that I would recommend is maybe watch a couple of YouTube videos just to familiarize yourself with the gameplay. Maybe this is something we want to talk about internally here, is maybe we just do a gameplay weekend where we all play online over the weekend and get people ramped up to Heartland just prior to the launch. That might be a good way to get in and get acclimated to what you need to do. Familiarize yourself with the classes, which you won't get until a certain level, but introduce you to the base of operations, how and what the functionality of those are. Just overall gameplay. It's not that difficult. It's a shooter. It's a third person shooter. Figuring out how to do, how to go into cover, maybe how to tune weapons, figuring out which direction on the skill tree you want to go. Do you want to go more for a healer? Do you want to go for static? Do you want to go for fire? Do you want to go sniper? There's so many options in the game. There is inventory management. There is Tetris gameplay. Not as much. They did pull back a little bit of that. It's still a looter shooter, but I think they're scaling back the intensity, so to speak, of the overall, micromanagement of inventory. Because before, it was a pain, right? And you could actually think of that in a lot of games, whether it's Destiny, Diablo 4 is the same way, right? There was parts of the game where I was just scooping up loot everywhere, then I just had to start doing Tetris and start dumping gear wherever you want. But you kind of get that in a lot of new games. So yeah, there is going to be, there is some micromanagement, Rihanna. But back to your question about how easy or how player friendly it is. Yeah, it's not that difficult to get in as long as you're a little open-minded about it, because it is fun. Especially if your first time getting exposed to that and seeing the cinematics and understanding how things got to the where it was, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we have another question here, and this is from Zan Pao. This is a very interesting question, Pete. A question, I found this in our Discord FanMail channel. So you also can send questions through there, guys. What sort of odd jobs did Pete, Danny, and Paris do while the podcast was still young? Did any of y'all deliver pizzas or work at a retail store during those early, very early years? Well, for me, I used to work at a TV station, TV network, and that was Discovery Channel Latin America in Miami. So I was working there full time while still doing everything with GTR during the early days. So I remember my first year working at the at Discovery, they would do like a giveaway every year where they would give you a free laptop of your choice, either PC or Mac. So I won my first year, and I got a brand new computer, Mac, and that's how I started recording GTR content through there. And I didn't have no microphone. I was using everything through the built-in mic of the laptop. So yeah, that's how I started working through there, man. What about you, Pika? I know you were still living in Miami during that time when I started. Can you talk about what was it, your early job when you started with GTR?
Where was I?
And I know you had a couple. You had a couple during that time.
I just can't remember. The beginning of that, I was working for a luxury real estate developer as the director of IT in Brickell. You know, I've always been in IT for probably like 25 years now, right? So, it's basically just corporate IT work. And then after that, worked for what's called an MSP or a managed service provider, which had, you know, clients all throughout South Florida. And then from there, went to work in Palm Beach Gardens for an insurance company. It was a mortgage company. And then, you know, moved to Switzerland to become the head of IT for where I currently work now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when in the early days of GTR, Halo 3 came out. And this was like a big thing. We went to an event in Miami, launch event, which Bungie was in different locations across the U.S. To celebrate the release of that game. And we got the game, and we went somewhere in downtown. Was it like your office? And we started playing Halo 3. Halo 3 there, you remember? Way back?
Yeah, we all like brought TVs and we all brought our consoles. And our building was right on Brickell and we overlooked Biscayne Bay. We had this big conference room, all glass, big massive glass table in the middle. And we all just set up TVs. I'm sitting there with this massive 32 inch at the time. Remember, this is like 2007, 2006, whatever. 32 inch TV flat screen was the thing, right? So I had that. Boom, set that up. We had like a 500 meg internet pipe there. So all of us were connected to the Wi-Fi or connected to the wireless network. I had run cables from the network so that everybody could go. Okay. That was fun.
It was fun. And you know what was so cool about it? While playing that game online during that time, remember you'll see how many people were online or like the location around the world and stuff. Yo, it was exciting. It was super exciting playing that back then. Woo. Yeah. So that's what we used to do back in the days. And here's the thing too, like even when I started, before I started GTR and I was living in New York, I was just, you know, going to college and worked at a retail store and stuff, you know? So, but I think my first job was a bag boy at a public supermarket. And then after that, I moved to Miami and I was working at a movie theater. I started as an usher and then I would work in the concession stand. And I'm trying to remember what else I did after that. Yeah, that's when I started working at different retail stores, especially toy retail stores. Yo, not a great experience during the holiday season. Ooh, it was rough. It was really, really rough. So yeah. And then, you know, street promoter and all that stuff. That was like a side gigs for me. But P used to be a DJ back then. A lot of people don't know that. And he used to DJ on our show back in the early days of GTR. We put it as a bonus content for those that had like the GTR app. I think if you have the iOS device, you could download the Gamertag Radio app still is available, and you can listen to our music and DJ's segments from back in the early days. It's still there if you guys want. But you remember those, Pete? You missed those?
What was it, episode 300? Like the infamous episode 300. We made such a big deal
about
it. That was
multiple. That was multiple of those, but yeah.
But yeah, that was the one that I had done like a special hip-hop mix. It was like a 15, 20-minute hip-hop mix of like a bunch of like cool tracks from like throughout the years.
Yeah. All right, so we have another question. This is a good question. This is a shout-out to Keon. Actually, he sent me this a while ago. I was saving it for a while, and I'm going to play it here on GTR, so I'm going to play it right now.
What's going on, good brothers? How are you brothers doing, man? Shout out to you, Danny. Shout out to you, Paris. And shout out to Pete Rock. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I don't really know how to start this because this is a bit of a different question for you guys, but I'll just jump to the question at hand. Are Xbox gamers really gaming? Are they really playing the games on the console? The reason why I ask this is because I am a gamer who has a very limited skill set when it comes to gaming. My favorite hobby, but I'm not the best at it. It is no way in the world I should be getting diamond achievements left and right in games where 0.39% of the player base has been completing mission number 5 in a game. And these are mainstream games. I'm talking Devil May Cry, talking GTA 5, Red Dead Redemption. Anyway, I'm just curious to know, have you guys been noticing when you get these achievements, the percentages that are under them, mine have been very, very low, which leads me to believe that Xbox gamers aren't really gaming on Xbox, which leads me to the situation that maybe this is why Game Pass had to exist, because game players aren't really supporting the console as much as Microsoft/Xbox needs them to. I would like to get you guys' opinion on this. Are Xbox gamers really supporting the console and playing the games that are given to them? Some of these games are on Game Pass and they got low percentages like this. Anyway, sorry for the long question. As always, you guys are amazing at what you do. Thank you guys for the great, great podcast. And with that being said, you guys have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. As always, Keon from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. From Baltimore. You want me to answer that, Pete? I could answer that super quick.
Go for it. Go for it.
So the way how achievement works through the Xbox is how many players had completed them that owns the game, right? So for example, sometimes when we get games really, really early, I'll see like 0.1% and it will show like a diamond because the game is not out there. There's not that many people that are playing it. So that's how it works. It's not the percentage of like, let's say 1 million people, let's just say. It's not based on that or anything. It's more of like how many people have the game and how many people are actually unlock that achievement. That's how that works. So you were going to answer that, Pete?
I mean, for me, achievements aren't really all that important to me, right? Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's more important is gameplay experience, emotional impact, or does it move me, right? You know, instances like what was No Russia, Call of Duty, you know, the first 15 minutes of the first Last of Us, things like that were either through visceral just gameplay or just amazing games, you know. Just amazing storytelling are what's more important to me. As far as Keon's question, I think it's subjective. In a sense, I do see very similar statistics on Steam because again, I play mostly you know games on Steam or on PC. But I don't know for me if it's that important. Some people see it as important. Again, I think it's a subjective thing. I mean, I don't know if for me, like maybe if you had asked me this question 5 or 10 years ago, I'd have a different answer, right? Because obviously back then I was much more invested in console gaming, as well as I may have been that target demographic for rushing for achievements. But I think over time, I think as someone mentioned in the chat, I have become more seasoned. I don't know if it's something that I pay as much attention to, but not to discount its importance. I know some people like that. I like they enjoy that maybe that competitiveness of being that one, you know, that 1% of achieving that, you know. Maybe for me the closest thing to that was, you know, being, you know, in that first week or two of, like, let's say Destiny, and you defeat the raid and you're like, boom. And then you look at that number because, you know, Bungie would put it up on Twitter or wherever. It says, oh, look, only like 2% of everybody, of players have even participated in the raid, much less completed it, right? And that in and of itself is, I think, for me, was a cool kind of like a peacock moment, right? It's like, boom, I could throw this little, you know, and they still offer things like that in game. I don't know if achievements are as important. This might be that hot take moment for this episode, but I don't know if achievements are that important for console gamers if they can't use that as a way to, like, kind of like I said, show off or peacock, whether it be on social media, whether it be in Discord. Maybe that's something that maybe Bungie and others can give us, or, you know, maybe that's something that Microsoft and or Sony want to look into, is giving us those banners or those emblems on our profiles so that when we are that 1% of the population that has completed a specific task, we beat the raid, that we can put that in our profile page, right? That says, look, we did this. I don't know if there's other mechanisms that are similar to it, but I think that would be a little bit more, I think that would be more cool. Granted, I'm also 49 years old, so what I think is cool is really irrelevant in this day and age for a lot of people. But I think that might be a little, that might tick that box for some people to say, oh, look, I did this, right? Perfect example, PUBG, if you, I just got another one yesterday, so I put it up on my emblem. But I don't know if you can see that on a regular Xbox emblem while you're playing somebody, right? Or if you're in a party with somebody and you see, oh, they've got these little, you know, one or two emblems on their title, card because they did XYZ in a game. I think it'd be much cooler like that. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, a couple of things. Achievements doesn't really say how many people actually bought the game or how many people downloaded the game from Game Pass. That achievements is not meant to show you, like, here's the stats of the sales. It's not gonna do that. And here's the thing, and I know I talked about this multiple times on the podcast, but achievements existed way back in the days. It started during the arcade days, from like the late 70s and 80s. And the way how that people used to do achievements back then is, let's say you get a higher score, right? When you see the highest score on the arcade, it will give you like the address of the studio that worked on that game, right? So you take a picture of your score and you send it to the studio. And back then, they will send you a patch that you could use that patch for your part of your collection, your achievements collection. And that's how the concept came up, especially in the Xbox 360 days. That's why they added achievements, because of that, from way back in the early days and stuff, man. So a lot of people don't know that. So again, achievements doesn't really say how many people actually bought the game, but it's how many people achieve and unlock that game. That's the stats of that, right? And I know it gets a little bit confusing when you see that, like Pete, you mentioned about Destiny, how many people achieve the, like finish the raid. is going to be the percentage is going to be low. That means that the game, the sales is pretty low because not a lot of people bought the game. No, I don't think so. It's how many people actually try to unlock that. You know, the majority of people don't. Like you said, I think people just play games to play games. They don't care much about unlocking achievements. Back in the early days, the 360 days, it was super easy to just unlock achievements, especially like a game like King Kong. Remember that from 360? That was like super easy to start playing and you already unlock like 4 achievements right away, you know? So, but now it's been complicated. It's a lot harder. And now you get achievements on Steam, you get on Ubisoft Connect, on consoles, everywhere. So, but yeah, just want to say that. Anything else, Pete?
It's funny because I'm looking at it, and because I mentioned the Destiny thing, I took a look at it. The new raid on Destiny 2 Lightfall, Root of Nightmares, has more day one clears than all of the others combined.
Really?
With a success rate of 44% within the first 48 hours, right? When you take a look at the grand scale of all of that, Vault of Glass, 111, right? 100,000 had attempted it, 0.1% completion, right? Within the first, you know, day one, right? Day one clears, right? Not saying overall, but day one. Crota's End, 70 completed it with 0.02%, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start taking some of these, you know, and it wasn't until 2018, 4 years later, Scourge of the Past, where they started jumping up, where it was double digits, 16% completed it within, you know, on the first day. I think that's more so the difficulty of the game. And also remember, you're talking on a platform that now has multiple players. So now you can have, you know, whether it was Xbox, whether it was PlayStation, whether it was PC. So it was a little bit different than just locking it down to a single platform base, because then obviously you chop your numbers up, and then that, of course, that with a much lower sample size, now that number is going to be a lot more tangible or tied to that platform. But you know, I think going back to that, that's a massive number, 44%. When you think about it, 197,000 players attempted it. 445,000 attempted it. Almost 200,000 players completed it. That's pretty insane, considering.
That's pretty insane.
Mm-hmm. Going back to, you know, to Keon's, you know, conversation, is it more difficult? I don't think it's based on platform. I just think it might just be trending away from how important that is, because there's no like bonus to it. There's nothing for someone to like be excited to hey, you know, I got this achievement. Mm-hmm. Now that might change when you're now one of those people that are like over 1 million gamer score, right? Like I forgot, what was the guy that got to like 1 million? He was the first person to get to like 1 million gamer score or something like that, like 2 or 3 years ago. My timing might be off. It might have been 1 or 2 years, but like that race was a little more important back then, but now I don't know if it's as important in gaming. I think people probably spend spend way too much energy on a lot less important things these days than they do on something as competitive as maybe your gamer score or your trophy score. And you know, I mean, we still have friends that race to try to get, you know, the platinum trophies or try to perfect, you know, 100%. Again, going back to my old days, yes, that was cool. That was important. I remember NBA Street was my first one that I completed. And
oh, really?
Nice. And I didn't complete it until, I think it was like 3 months before they turned off the servers. And it was strategically is because I had to play someone and beat them online. And I'd never played it and beaten.
I forgot about that. That you have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and it was things like that. Man. That was, and you know, NBA Street is probably one of my all time favorite online games, but you know, it wasn't that little psychological effect of the trophies or gamer score or achievements for that matter, didn't tick in until I couldn't achieve it. Right. It was like, okay, we're going to take away this ability or take away the server. Do you, you know, here's your last chance. Oh, well, damn. Well, let me fire it up and let me do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we have more questions, but we have to like wrap up the show. But we could do it. We could do it on the after show if you want. But by the way, breaking news. Breaking news. Super Mario Brothers movie box office sales now at $871 million worldwide. And $434 million in North America. So this movie is about to hit $1 billion by next week. Because it hasn't been out in Korea and Japan. So once the movie comes out in those countries, it's a wrap. It's going to hit over a billion.
I'm surprised. I thought it had already hit.
No, not yet.
And I didn't know that it hadn't hit. The global theaters. Yeah, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, insane. And I know it's crazy. I mentioned to Paris weeks before it came out. I was like, Paris, I can see this movie hitting up a billion. Do you see this movie hitting a billion? He's like, he thought about it. He's like, yeah, you know what? I think it's going to happen. Boom, look at that. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's so fast, too.
That's wild.
Yeah. So that's good, man. It's good. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you everyone for listening to episode 1258 here at Gamertag Radio. Thank you, Pete, for joining us during the hot weather over there. Your location.
What's crazy is it's 64 degrees outside for it's not really. It just happened that it was warm in here.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because I have a fan going on in here and it's getting a little chilly. Now it's getting a little cool. It's cooled off now.
Nah. Cool. All right, everyone, until next time, thank you for listening. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.